Hey everyone, welcome to the Mayor's Table. It is the season of giving here in our community. With us today is Catherine and Jen from the San Juan United Way. They're going to share how your dollars can be spent here in this community directly to those organizations and the community fund that serves 18 individual local nonprofits. It's a great time to give. It's a great time to learn on how you can make a difference. Hey everyone, Merry Christmas, Happy Giving Season. Thank you for joining us here today on the Mayor's Table. With me today are frequent flyers, annual flyers.
I like that, yeah.
Of the Mayor's Table Party. And that is our friends over at the United Way, Catherine and Jen. I'm going to just call you Catherine and Jen.
Yeah.
Are you executive director, Catherine?
I am, but I'd also like to say that we've been the Catherine and Jen show on KSJE for probably as long as we've been at United Way.
That's awesome.
That's true.
I told Scott that I needed a Nate Duckett show on there too.
Right.
Be like Nate and Catherine and Jen.
Right.
Even more importantly than who you're paired with is going to be your theme song.
Oh.
You need like a
Do you have
Nate
a theme
Duckett
song?
Show kind of a thing.
Do you have
No,
a theme
we
song?
Don't.
No, but we are most famous probably for our Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving adaptation of a song.
Do you do that? Have you done that on air?
Yes.
The Thanksgiving song?
Yes, the Catherine and Jen show is nothing but silly.
I love it. I have no doubts about that.
And
that's why all the viewers are going to be excited that you're here today, because we're going to be talking about the season of giving.
Yes.
Which I know is very near and dear to your heart and the mission of the San Juan United Way, who supports a number of great organizations here in the community, keeps those giving dollars here in our community, helps companies set up campaigns to promote giving within their organizations to keep money here to support the missions of so many fantastic organizations.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Do you want a job?
Let's elaborate on this.
I'd even go so far as to say that we just allow the community to do that because
right.
It's not even really us. It's all of their support, and we just get to be the little bus that drives that money to school where it needs to go.
Well, I think that's very true, and I know there's a number of nonprofits out there who would love to be in your seat to talk about the things they're doing. The reason we bring the San Juan United Way on here is because you facilitate those funds to so many organizations, and it just makes it simple. And plus, you're the Catherine and Jen show, and that, you know, we combine our superpowers together, and we're going to get a great message out to the community on how they can help others.
That is definitely our goal. What we really hope that everyone realizes, whether they're a nonprofit or somebody who cares about a nonprofit, is that by giving to United Way or to an organization that you care about through United Way, everything you give is completely local. And our job isn't just to raise money. Our job really is to assess on a community, which is countywide level, what are the greatest needs of our community? Where are there gaps in services, potentially even gaps in resources? And so there's times where our annual fundraising, which we're most known for when we come around in the giving season to up the annual campaign, you know, those funds sustain that work all year round. But there's something always popping up, you know, in our community where, hey, this needs addressed right now. And that's where, by being so plugged into, quite honestly, hundreds of nonprofits and what they're doing around the county in some way to help either the safety net or another level of essential care, we're able to give them a platform they couldn't have by themselves and help share the message of what they know the community needs, because we wouldn't know of all of this by ourselves. It's impossible to know
right.
everything that's needed. And so if we can help bring together all of those nonprofits and causes, we can share that back with the community to share what's needed, but then also how you can help, because that's also where we'll help the nonprofits either individually figure out how to best utilize their resources, how to combine them, how to leverage, how to collaborate with other nonprofits. But I think one of the biggest things is bringing the information of what's needed and how community members can either get involved through volunteering, through donating items, or even simply just payroll deductions.
No, I do think that. And what my experience with your organization, when you talked about filling in the gaps and identifying needs, You guys really are passionate about that.
Yes.
And I know you carry that very, it's very near and dear to your heart. Both of you, I know, when you see something that needs to be addressed, you want to try and address it. And that's the great thing about being where you're at, is you have access to those resources, to those organizations, to say, hey, I need your help. How can we deal with this situation? Thinking about that right now here, Christmas 2023, what are some of the challenges that you see facing the community that our community members watching here could get involved with?
There's a lot of things. I'll start with one. I'm sure Jen has several in her mind too. One thing that is constantly a struggle is accessing affordable housing. Rents are going up, and just basic economic hardship that every family, regardless of their income level, is facing.
Sure.
Something we've looked into and seen, and are trying to bring a lot more attention to, is the programs that we are funding and the people we're trying to help are not just the 26% of people who fall under the federal poverty line. There's another 24% of people who are employed and also struggling. You know, they might be one, you know, car repair paycheck, one disaster or crisis away from needing these services. These services are available to anyone. Sometimes we do run into situations where the qualifications and eligibility to access that is the problem or the barrier. And I'd say that from our perspective, that's one of the areas right now where we're helping a lot on the kind of behind the scenes, is helping with those nonprofits or even government programs to say, what are these eligibility criteria that could be preventing people from accessing who truly need it?
Right.
So that would be newer that we're dealing with, because what we know is that there's more people who need access to help than just people who are struggling at the most.
Sure. Jen?
Agreed. I would say that it is a lot of the unseen outer skirts population, you know, like that next phase of homelessness. And so what I see is less, I mean, there are plenty of people asking for help and in need of shelter, those types of things, but there's a huge population of people who are not quite to the point that they're ready to ask yet. And they're really teetering. And so I see a lot of hard choices, would be the way I would put it. And so I've brought up before, I can't remember if it's been at this table, but I had a little side hustle for collecting blankets for senior citizens that are literally homebound. Like, they can't even make it to the senior center for the meals. And so they receive like the equivalent of a Meals on Wheels, and they have someone maybe come help them with their shopping list or whatnot. And so an example of a choice that they make is, if they don't have enough food for their cat or dog, they're gonna split their one and only meal they have for that day with that cat or dog. And so that's just a small thing, but it's something that you really think, oh my goodness, like that's a hard choice, because I'm not gonna let my dog go hungry, so I'll just go a little hungry with him. And then in the same breath, like, we've heard a lot about actually like hygiene items. People are desperate for hygiene items. And I think it's because they had to make that hard choice. Do I pay my rent? Do I pay my water bill? Or do I get myself all the things that I need? Do I fix my car and get the gas and buy the shampoo and, you know, get new shoes for work that are non-skid or whatever it may be? And so
right.
There's a lot of those hard choices that are being made.
No, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. A lot of those things that folks aren't thinking about.
Exactly.
Potentially, unless you're in that position and you're dealing with it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who recognize this, and maybe they're hearing it for the first time today, are there particular organizations that, you know, if people call in and say, I want to help, because we're still doing that, right? If people call in to you and say, hey, I'd like to donate money, I'd like to donate goods. I mean, there's a number of those that are out there. I mean, I could name 20 off the top of my head.
Absolutely.
But is there any particulars that right now really could use that, because that's their mission? They're funding those hygiene products, the blankets, the clothes, the food. I mean,
yeah, specifically, so we will we have on our website sort of a catch-all, because we are contacted by schools, districts, individual organizations, individual programs that have specific needs. So we're trying to consolidate for those who don't have the capacity to handle that themselves. But there are a few organizations on their own that really could use that help now, and you don't need to use us as a middleman. The Mental Wellness Resource Center, that's hosted by the county, it's right across the street from the emergency room. They are constantly helping people who are in kind of an immediate crisis mode, and it ranges from anything you could imagine. But one of the things they're asked a lot for are hygiene items, coats, socks, gloves. And another one I would recommend would be TOTA over at PMS on the campus of care. TOTA has not only the what we know of as the sobering center and shelter, but they also host the expansion shelter, which thanks to so much cooperation between the city of Farmington and the county, that's open year round, which means there's no reason anyone should be left out overnight to, you know, succumb to the elements. And that's, that is quite something, that is something that we have had to deal with. But by bringing all of these organizations together to fight that maybe those biggest hurdles, it comes down to now, I mean, the community could come and provide coats and socks. You know, socks, I know, are one of the most requested items at TOTA. Men's socks and men's sweatshirts, mm-hmm. and like a clean pair of sweatshirt, sweatpants. That's some of the hardest things to come by, but it's one of the most dignified things we can do for somebody when we're welcoming them into a safe shelter off the streets, out of a safe or out of an unsafe environment. We can give them a clean pair of clothes, let them have a shower, let them have a hot meal and a safe place to sleep overnight.
I totally agree. Jen, how long have you been with United Way?
My goodness, I think it's been 7 years of Sundays now.
7 years of Sundays.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's my seventh campaign.
Catherine, same?
Same, longer. Just a couple, maybe 6 months longer, but yeah. Same amount of campaigns. So we learned campaigning together at the same time. So this is our seventh cycle.
In the 7 years that you all have been involved with these campaigns and with the mission, what's maybe the biggest thing that's changed, or the thing that's unfortunately stayed the same? I mean, is there kind of ups and downs, and how would you view that?
You asked some great questions.
I know.
You know that?
I'm trying to get really better at this.
You want to take that one? Go ahead.
Sure. So there's a lot of things that have gotten better and improved. One thing I can say that's remained consistent has been how much our community responds and reacts. However, I'll tell you that I was a little skeptical when I came on 8 years ago. That was a time that was very, very uncertain for our community's economy moving forward, especially in the industry of energy. So that was something where we anticipated a lot of change that would, a lot more detrimental change. And so something that happened was that the individuals who continued to give, companies might have left and they left with their large checkbooks, but the individuals who remained and stayed in San Juan County didn't stop giving. And in almost every case, and it's something that we're passionate about in our seventh cycle, is we love comparing when people are giving, because it's so exciting to see that individual people are still giving a couple dollars out of their paycheck to put into this community effort. They don't even have, they might not have even watched the show. They might not even know exactly what we're doing, or maybe they do, but no matter what, they're still giving to the greater good of San Juan County and the people who live here. And that, even though that's so consistent, I am so surprised that it's stayed the same. And I call that an improvement, because even though some of those employees, they lost the incentive of a company maybe doubling their gift, or lost an incentive of possibly getting a free day to go volunteer in the community, they didn't let that stop them. They continued to do it. They continue to reach out to us to say, how do we get involved? And that's so cool.
That's a really insightful observation. I'm glad that you brought that out here, because that is something we talk about all the time,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that you lose these big industrial companies, you lose that giving component. But what you just told me is everybody, we're still picking up that slack. Do you see that the need has grown over the last 7 years as far as individuals who are needing the support, or has that kind of stayed consistent? Because I've heard it both ways.
Yeah, and I don't want to say for sure, because I can see the argument for both ways. But what I have seen is that in some ways the need has increased, and I think a lot of it is due to better promotion of what's available. If we're seeing an increase in the usage of services, a lot of that can be contributed directly to the fact that now people know where to get help.
Right.
It doesn't exactly have to pair up to like the causation of an increase. So we really rely on our nonprofits that we fund and partner with to give us feedback on what are you seeing change, because our metrics are not are you seeing fewer clients or more clients, because we really want anyone who identifies themselves as someone who needs your service to get it. And if it's going up, it could be because there's something going up, but there's also other ways we can follow up. So if it's crime-based, we've been able to work with local law enforcement agencies across the county to say, do you also see an increase in maybe domestic violence calls? And if we were able to say we don't, but then we also saw an increase in calls to the shelter or to sexual assault services or post victim services, that would help us at least feel a little confirmation that we're getting the word out there, they're getting the word out there, and that the services are available and accessed more without having to see an increase in hardship. It's not to say that there's not increased hardship.
Sure.
There is across the board with different things, but I would say that one thing that is very true is that there's been increased awareness of what's available for people, and there's a lot more opportunity and access, because that's one of the things we really focus on. We can't force somebody to take the help that's available to them. We can offer help to the community, and what we can do is work along the way to make sure that it is as accessible as possible, but we can't make it happen.
Sure.
So we know we can't help everyone. We know we can't save anyone. The thing is, if we can make the path accessible, more people will use it. I don't necessarily think that should be a discourager or discouraging thing to see that more people are using it. It just means we're making it easier for people to find well-being.
Sure.
And health.
Now, you see that a lot in these kind of conversations where maybe you see an uptick in, I'm trying to think of the most recent thing, but to that point, if something is promoted more, there's the high possibility that it's going to be used more.
Right.
So there's more people who are accessing it, as opposed to there was more or less need.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless. But Jen, do you do work with the schools, as I understand, to some degree?
To some degree, yes.
Yeah. Is there anything you would share with the community on
schoolwork?
Because there's a lot of things that, you know, it's for folks, you know, to understand where your students go to school, whatever elementary school it is, whatever middle school or high school it is, there's a lot of kids in those schools who are hungry, who are lacking clean clothes, who are lacking just everyday vital necessities that you and I take for granted, and my kids have taken for granted. And how, you know, in your experience, how best could parents within those schools get involved?
That's wonderful, because that's, again, a situation where there's a lot of mental health involved with, you know, having the things that you need to feel comfortable going to school. So if you are hungry, or you are unshowered, or you have, you know, the wrong clothes on, whatever that may mean, they're the wrong size, they're the wrong season, they're holy or they're dirty, I think that the awareness first is obviously the best thing. In fact, in bringing a little bit of this awareness to students and parents, we had the fantastic, perfect reaction. No one was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, there's a bunch of dirty kids at my school or anything. You know, everyone wants to help, and they're like, oh my goodness, you know, I would love to get involved in that. And so it's a little bit of a tricky situation, because you don't want to also call them out and put them in a weird situation. So an example of something that is going to be really cool to get involved in, I think, that we would like to do going forward, is that we had a statewide United Way meeting where they discussed this almost crisis of hygiene in schools. And so, again, probably coming down to that hard choices situation that people are finding themselves in. And so kids may be also, you know, uncomfortable asking for deodorant or something simple like that. And so they don't necessarily want to be identified, but want to be helped. And so we learned that something that's been a great success is what they have, like a wall that's essentially a magazine rack that would have trial size deodorants and shampoos and those types of things, so that if they were in between the bathrooms, say, you can just kind of do a walk by, you know, take what you need, and that way no one has to know, but the school nurse monitors it, she makes sure that it stays full. And so where does the money come from, though, for those items? And that's where parents could get involved. And that's an example of where we like to be kind of that middleman, in a sense, to bridge that gap of need, to where we're just using the giving power that already exists, but educating them about where to direct it. And so what I believe what we're gonna do is have a landing spot on our website where parents could donate money, so that, because I think it's gonna end up being consistent. We can't necessarily do a drive for 400 different size and flavors of deodorant. But that would be, you could put in $5 on that landing page, and that would sponsor, you know, something for a child in need. And that way you don't have to worry about doing the shopping. You don't have to worry about where to drop it off. You don't have to round up your stuff around the house, but you can just collectively as a family decide, let's throw $5 in this hygiene fund, and times 1,000,
sure,
we've got it sponsored.
Yeah.
And so I think the biggest thing is just knowing, being aware that this is what's going on, and having a little bit of compassion for it. And then whenever you need to, reach out and ask us if there's anything more you can do, and we'd be happy to figure it out. Because that's a fun thing. I always think something's going to be a little pilot project, and then you give it to this community and it blows up like a mm-hmm. Roman candle, and you're like, oh, I wasn't even ready for you guys to help this much. And so it's a really beautiful thing.
When it comes to the funds that you all receive, is it just local funds that you disperse, or do you get funds on a national level as well that come to San Juan County? How does that work for United Way?
It's a mix. It is predominantly all local funding from individuals. Over an overwhelming amount, I'd say easily over 90%. And the only reason it's not 100% is the pandemic has given us some new opportunities where we could bring in outside funding, and we're not above that. You know, we want to bring in as much money as possible for these good things. But the predominant way we raise money is individuals saying, I can afford to give $5 a paycheck, or I mean, however much they're going to give. So many local employers, I mean, hundreds run the United Way campaign. So many people, I'm sure, just miss it or don't realize that it's there. And one of the things that I believe that if I didn't know as much about United Way as I did, I would be skeptical that it's actually as local as it is, because...
Well, I've had elected officials challenge me on that.
Right.
Because they've actually, we've had the discussion, like, well, they don't keep that money here.
Right.
No, they do keep that money
here.
They
do.
So explain that a little bit, because there's obviously executive officers over the big, giant United Way Corp,
right.
But they're not paid through money that comes through
here. They're not, they're associated to us in the same way... nurses or teachers are associated to a National Nurses or Teaching Association. They have trainings, they have wisdom, they have certifications, they have guidance, best practices, things of that nature. But when it comes to, how things are run, everything, it couldn't be more local. So San Juan United Way has been operating in our community for over 60 years, and since it was established by local community members, and it has continued to be run, operated by a completely volunteer-led board that are community members from across the county, and it's always been, there's no way to be more local. It does happen. We see it every year. There's some misinformation that gets circulated about different large national nonprofits. And that can hurt us at times. We sometimes feel like we're on a individual base campaign to convince people that we swear, like, we will even text you a picture. We got your check. Like, it will be Jen or I who sees the actual check. It is as local as possible. So one of the things that makes that happen, every United Way in every county or region across the country is local. However, not every United Way can say the same things that we do, is that 100% of every gift that any individual gives to the campaign goes directly to whatever nonprofit they chose or to the community fund itself. That's not paying not just, you know, our light bill or the paper pledge forms or anybody's salary or anything. It's not paying for any of that, because in addition to raising money from individuals, because we really care to get individuals involved in their cause, we work on the back end all year round, working with either the companies that we work with as employers, and then dozens of other local businesses and even individuals who believe in the work of United Way and want to see that their funding go directly to funding our boring overhead costs, which we're really proud to be able to keep so low. But those costs mean that there is no such thing as an admin fee, a fundraising fee, a stamp fee. There's not a thing like that. And that's something that is provided by our community. Not every United Way can say that, because it does cost money to, we process hundreds of checks all year round. There's nonprofits getting checks from us quarterly. There's so much administrative work that it makes sense that it would have to cost some money, but we never want that. That would never come from the donor. And yep. that's not something that most United Ways can say. So I don't fault anyone for thinking that, but that's not true for our community.
I think it's good to educate folks and let them know exactly how that process works. And I would imagine on your website, is there information that's on there that kind of spells out kind of some of that information as well?
Yes. Yeah, and we like to brag about all the awesome local companies yep. that help support that work so that everyone can give 100% of what they want.
So you mentioned something about the community fund. So if I wrote a check, and it was $100, mm-hmm. I could say I want $50 to go to Echo. Mm-hmm. I want $50 to go to the community fund. Mm-hmm. That community fund then is set up to where I think this past campaign, there was 18 local nonprofits. That's who receives that community fund. Is that
yes.
right? Okay. If somebody's watching this right now and they're part of a local nonprofit and they're interested in getting involved, is there a kind of opt-in or a application time or anything like that where nonprofits could apply?
That's something that will be available on our website probably later in January. Our campaign really wraps up in January, and
okay.
until then we're rolling live with the campaign. We don't know how much funds to anticipate, and so we like to just focus all of our efforts on that during the giving season, wrapping it up at the end. But by January, there will be information up on our website for any new nonprofits that are new to the funding opportunities with United Way, eligibility, how to apply, things like that. One thing that's unique and very special about the United Way community campaign is that Jen nor I decide where any of that money goes. Even though we do work year-round knowing all of the issues or what the gaps are, it's our job to facilitate, and we have upwards of 40 community volunteers. That number could change with anyone who wants to participate across the community to evaluate these applications. It'll eventually make it forward through that process for the community fund. So that process is evaluated by community members only. Jen and I help facilitate and organize and make sure that is set up for the community members to decide. They deliberate, and we take their recommendation right to our board. Our board has never, in my 7 years of bringing them a recommendation, has ever made a change based on what the community recommends.
Great. Interesting. Well, Jen?
Yes, sir. You want a dad joke, don't you?
A dad joke? A dad
yeah.
joke. Jen, are you full of dad jokes?
I am full of dad jokes, although I'm going to start calling them mom jokes because dads never laugh.
Yeah, no way.
Ever.
I somehow believe that, yeah.
You get a lot of...
I think they don't like that hers are so much better than
they're
most
so
dads.
Zingy.
They're so zingy. Are like, dang it, I didn't come.
I secretly want to remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What else would you add in the season of giving?
Oh, gosh. It makes my heart swell up like the Grinch sometimes when you say that. Like at the end, though, when it swells up.
Three times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gets so big. So I would say, you know, at the risk of being cheesy, you know, follow your heart. So how much time and money you have to involve yourself, what your commitment level to getting involved is, there is a way for everyone. So like I said, if you guys all want to pitch in as a family and do $5 on our website to a hygiene kit, do that. Yeah. If you'd like to get your family together to serve a meal somewhere or do some little house projects for homebound seniors who are doing their dishes in the bathroom because their sink is clogged, then we can hook you up with that. If you would like to encourage your business to do a United Way campaign so that you can all get involved a dollar a paycheck at a time to support a nonprofit of your choice, then we could do that. So there are just so many different things that you can do, and it's what would be easiest and best for you personally, because our involvement is different, and there's so much need that it involves every color of the rainbow. And so I like to get to be the convener of all that good.
No, that's great info.
Yeah.
Catherine, any final words?
I'm so appreciative and thankful to everyone in the community just for continuing to step up and making this job so, it's not easy, but it's such
rewarding.
It's so rewarding because, and I wish that everyone got to see what we see. You know, we do get to see the impact of your dollar. A lot of times people think a few dollars doesn't add up, but we really go and multiply that out with, you know, as many people. It's thousands of people in the community, and that adds up so quickly. And I mean, even just $1 a day, or a day, $1 a paycheck for a year, that'll provide a family a night of shelter. You know, think it's no big deal, it will be used to do an actual thing. $52,
right? I mean, it's $52 times 1,000 people.
Right. And so it does great things, and Jen and I get to see that on a daily basis because that's our job. And so, you know, I would just love to just help everyone knows how awesome it is.
Yeah, if I could even give one other little closing tiny remark. We don't have a community thermometer anymore. We don't necessarily have our top number where everyone can see it anymore. But dollar by dollar, and excluding outside funding, this community brings in almost $1 million every year. Almost $1 million. And people are always surprised when we say that. That is $1 at a time. So if we have not gotten to personally thank you, and you have no idea what your money is doing, I promise you, and I apologize that you don't get to see, but it is beautiful. And it is a lot, and it does add up.
Catherine and Jen Show.
Yeah.
Thanks for traveling over here to the Mayor's Table today.
We're always happy to. Thank you.
And thank you for your work and advocating for those who are in need, and advocating for the organizations whose missions are to serve them, and trying to put those pieces together for so many who need help. Know that it's very heartfelt when I say thank you to you as well. And I love the fact that you celebrate, that you get to see the good things, but you also get to see some very sad moments too. And I know that weighs on both of you at any given time. So thank you for being strong in those moments as well. And thank you to our community. Just a nice celebration to hear the type of donations and commitment that you have for those who are in need. It's a season of giving. If this is something that you've never done before, you've never offered a dollar to some organization that's on a mission to serve others, now's the time you could do that. Every dollar can count. If you're a business owner and you're interested in promoting giving within your organization, now's the time you can do that. The San Juan United Way offers those tools and resources, so make sure you reach out to them. And to all of you, we just wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. We'll have another show, I think, before that time, but you know, it's December. We've already lit the tree.
I dressed like Jack Frost.
Yeah.
I this is our Christmas vibe. Right here, yeah. Right?
I'm a snowflake.
It's in white and red. Yes. Perfect. Love it.
We hope you enjoy this season here in our beautiful community. Get out there, and lots of great events going on in the area. Get involved, and certainly give of your time and a donation if you can. So, and if you're in need of help, San Juan United Way website is also a great place to go. Thank you again, and we'll see you here next time on the Mayor's Table.